I want to get right into the message. I've been gearing up for a while. I've taken about 6 weeks off. Thank you, Steve, for just filling in that gap and just like declaring the truth. That's awesome. Yeah, we didn't miss a beat. He laid an incredible foundation for really what I want to share. He did a wonderful job summarizing the gospel and its relevant to us, its relevance to us in the world we live in. The gospel's not merely about saving human souls from sin. It summarizes a comprehensive divine plan for God to save what was lost. Matthew 18:11. In this, it's a plan to disrupt the reign of wickedness and evil. It's a plan to overcome sin and death by a perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He bridged humanity back to a loving Father. He empowered his believers to be witnesses by giving them the Holy Spirit. He commissioned them to make disciples of all the nations, Matthew 28:18, and to establish a people he could call his family. This people would become an embodiment of his goodness for all the world to see. Haggai 2:7 calls him the desire of the nations. This is far more than winning an individual soul to Christ. This is a comprehensive plan of saving all that was lost. God literally came down, gave his life, offered a perfect sacrifice. And you know, he's brilliant. He saves each soul and thrusts them into divine identity and purpose. See, when we receive the sacrifice of cross, of Christ on the cross, we are one, realizing our identity as his called children, grafted into his body, the body of Christ called the church. We become part of this intimate relationship and find our identity in a people of God that he has called to himself. This is exciting. I don't know about you. It stirs me. You have become grafted and adopted into a royal family with a purpose. That purpose is to save that which was lost. The world, the nations, and all their culture have been given to us as a framework to work out our salvation. We've not been called and saved for ourselves. We've been enlisted in a purpose that God has on this earth. Johnny Enlow, a recent voice in the body of Christ, has shared, he's given us the areas of our lives that we daily engage with, connect with, and care the most about. He calls them the seven areas of culture. It's by sociologists, it's been talked about in seminary for decades, of this idea that there's these areas of culture. And he calls them mountains. And he talks about them as a framework to receive his kingdom and the essence of who he is on earth. God's kingdom involves God's better way of doing everything. Okay? You know, it's like when you say shalom or peace, we're talking about making all things wrong right. That's what I mean by God's better way, is every area of life, God is wanting to make wrong things right. And he's wanting to see people to see his goodness through those actions of intervening in our life, of overcoming evil, of healing sin and brokenness and sickness. God's kingdom involves God's better way of doing everything and solving of every problem. God's essence is his love. He continues and says, in the simplest way to describe him, he is love. Our lives are ultimately a journey to discover and understand what love looks like. What God, as love, looks like in each of these areas of culture. As his kingdom, his better ways and solutions are coming to earth. Now listen to this. This is so powerful. God is properly being displayed in each area of culture when you're able to experience that area of culture and your conclusive takeaway is, I felt loved. Now, let's just talk about this for a second, because, you know, what Steve shared was powerful. And he even got into, you know, how COVID, you know, and a theology of gathering together is critical in our day. From a biblical standpoint, there's a theology where God has called the church not to forsake the assembling together. But we're going to start to see why this is so key. You know, there's these seven areas of culture. Here they are: media, family, arts and entertainment, economy, religion, education, and government. Now, let's just think about this. When was the last time you listened to media and said, "Oh, I feel so loved"? When's the last time that you had time with your family and you said, "I feel so loved"? And now this isn't necessarily by your family. It's by God, because of his goodness being demonstrated through family. How about arts and entertainment? You just felt like, you know, I want to have a good time. Do you know God is okay with you having a good time? He really is. He created arts and entertainment for you to experience and say, "I feel so loved." Well, have you felt loved when you turn on the TV? Economy. How many of you, when you really think about economy and your role in economy, have said, "I feel so loved by God"? I mean, based on what I know about what God's doing in people's lives, that's a lot of you. A lot of you are seeing God's hand move and say, "Wow, in spite of this great, terrible pandemic, God is loving me and blessing the work of my hands. This is amazing. It's boggling my mind." Religion. When's the last time in this area of culture where you've been like, "Man, everything I think about God, the church, the way he's moving in the household of faith, I feel loved"? Hopefully it's like, "Oh, yes, all the time. Whoop, whoop." How about education? When's the last time you were steeped in the arena of education and went, "Oh, God is so awesome. He's being glorified all around me. I'm being inspired to serve him with my life, every faculty of my brain, my body, my spirit, my energy, my passion"? How about government? When's the last time that, you know, I would propose to say that we, the church, have lost our identity and our purpose and abdicated our primary God-given purpose of showing the world the goodness of God in every single area of culture. See, it's not about you just accepting Jesus and, "Woo, yay, Christianity, go God." And then we start a Christian club called the church. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that he gave his life. Do you understand that? This isn't like, "Oh yeah, I threw some of my shares over to the side here and won the church for myself. I entered a little lottery and yay, I won. I get the church now." It was an intentional plan where God the Father, through great anguish, sent his son to die for us. Just the fact that Jesus left the side of the Father from eternity past, that is a long time. You cannot conceive eternity with your finite mind. That he left that esteemed place and came down and jumped in an inferior grasshopper suit and gave his life and was mocked and beaten and shamed. Do you know what it is like for the living God to submit himself to death? A death that he has overcome and reigns above without any thought or struggle. At any time, Jesus could have just said, "Finished, done." And all of his legions would have completely annihilated. His word alone would have just been like an atomic bomb that just went, poof, erased all conflict. Everything that was coming against him. Yet he submitted himself because he said, "We are in an epic time in history. humanity needs a Savior. The prophecies throughout history need to be fulfilled. I'm going to yield myself to death and give myself as the perfect sacrifice for all humans. Huge agenda of God to intervene and save humanity. This is only intensified and exacerbated by the massive shifts taking place in our culture. We are living in an epic time. It's extending beyond anything usual, ordinary. You know, you've heard probably the greatest word if you did a search to say what word was used most in the past few months. It would be unprecedented, right? I think it's in everybody's conversation. This is unprecedented election. This is the unprecedented economic challenge. This is unprecedented everything. And my true belief is that we stand on the threshold of one of the greatest transitions that right now we're in it. So to us, it's like, well, this is life. Or people say it's the new norm. Well, what they're all identifying in the very deep places of their heart is something big is going on. We don't understand it. We can't answer questions about it, but we've never experienced this before. Everything is shaking. But yet there's this firm resolve. There's this deep awareness that God is doing something incredible. The enemy has meant to disable and destroy humanity. And God is saying, oh, but watch how I masterfully use this. I will intervene. I will mess his plans up. He has no idea what I'm doing. I am going to use all these different things for my glory. Watch and see how brilliant I am. Watch and see how the enemy meant to do something. And I'm going to come and I'm going to sweep across the board, every area, media, family, arts and entertainment, economy, religion, education, government. Wait and see the amazing rebirth and reforging that I'm going to do across the face of the earth through every nation. Ooh, I'm telling you. COVID and issues like this have become a cultural storm that affect all areas of culture. I mean, look at every single area that I listed in these seven things have been shaken by a virus. And not in one culture, one nation, all across the world. Including the church, you know. I've been troubled about the state of the church. Troubled that so many people could be deceived and deluded. So many people would respond like any other human being on the face of this earth who does not know the love of God and who does not have the most powerful Holy Spirit living inside them. How is it that people could totally miss what God is doing on the face of the earth? Well, it's happened many times. When Jesus came to the earth, how much of the church or how many of God's people totally missed it? How can that be? The creator of heaven and earth comes down on earth, visits, fulfills countless prophecies that these Israelites had memorized. They didn't have to look it up. Oh, is this a fulfillment of a prophecy? It was part of them. They ate the word. They memorized the word. By 12 years old, by 20, 30, they were deliberating, creating theology, application to how things need to be interpreted through that lens. And yet they missed the greatest visitation ever. But there are still watchmen on the walls who are still awake in the church. They are sounding the alarm to a distracted, even deceived and deluded church. This is not the time to go about doing business as normal. We stand on the threshold of a whole new era. It's not time to retreat because you have become weary or disillusioned. You know, I've heard so many disciples of Jesus, members of his church, the witness of truth on this earth, say that they are done with this or that. You know, like, oh, I don't ever watch TV anymore. bunch of bunk. I've been there, done that. I have no time for that. Really? You have no time to still be aware and begin to declare and decree the word of the Lord, to pray, to begin to act in the opposite spirit of what you're seeing, to contend with that area of culture? Are you going to abdicate like we've done for so many years? And that's the reason the world is so dark as it is. The church has backed down. The church is hidden in a closet. The church has shut their mouths. And let those with louder mouths influence the conversation. Family. We're just silent. This is not only your physical family. That is not God, folks. God has a family. Our families are to reflect and be governed in a way and nurtured in a way that they are channeled into something greater than ourselves called the church. The family of families, the church that's called to express the manifold wisdom to all creation, principalities, and powers. Our individual family can't do that. We can do that as part of God's greater plan. All these different areas, God has such a plan. You know, that's why I challenge you. You know, it is not all about religion. Religion is a primary area of culture that begins to influence every other. It's part of the mandate. It's part of what God's called us to do as the church. You know, I just feel like in a loudspeaker to everybody at home right now, calling all worshipers and lovers of Jesus, leave behind the cares of the world and return to him. Give your life to him. It's like Steve said, there's a reason people are risking their life. Their life. Their children's safety to go to church and gather together with believers, because there's power when there are people gathered together in his name. There are people risking their lives this morning all over the world who are persecuted. People meeting in the middle of the night so they're not seen and their family members aren't killed. This is a key point. We aren't exempt in America from having some kind of hardship and some kind of price to pay, our cross to carry. Church, arise. Come back to your posts. Man your positions. Now you're like, gosh, this sounds so intense. Well, it is intense. We are in the midst of a war. Whether you signed up or not, you are there. You know, the people who are living in the midst of places that have riots, they didn't sign up for that. They didn't say, oh, can you come to my house next? I want my family endangered. I want my house destroyed and my windows broken. Please, please, please. No, you're thrust into a war, and this war is not one of flesh and blood. This war is with a principality and power, with Satan, the god of this age. Listen to this. Johnny Enlow kind of sums it up here. He said, we were born into a war zone with a very real enemy. And the enemy isn't broken or deceived people, nor the broken systems of culture. Satan is the enemy. He deceived Adam and Eve by tempting them to exchange their intimate knowledge of God for one another. When they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they, like us, gained the ability to look at something or someone, at God, and question whether he's good or evil, whether his heart toward us is good or evil. The serpent conspired with an argument against God's reputation, and ever since that day, we have been expert doubters of God, lacking trust in and understanding of the one who loves us perfectly. The initial battle is replayed daily, all across the planet, through every circumstance we go through, and is led to systems and mountains of society being built around lies of God. Satan leveraged our propensity to view the knowledge of God and ultimately his goodness through every circumstance of our life. He convinced us as humanity to construct systems in every area of culture that are our best ways rather than God's best ways. Because we believe if he exists, that he certainly doesn't care enough about us to know what's best for us. So we build ways of taking care of ourselves based on lies about God. Systems built on lies about God will always be a place for a stronghold of the enemy. Our assignment is to know so well that we recognize the foundation of each lie and build upon the truth of who he is instead. This war is all about God being properly known the way he was originally intended to be known in each area of culture. I just want to encourage you, don't underestimate the power of Satan. You know, you think, oh, yeah, I can do it. I'm pretty smart. God has a great plan for my life. Really, he was the second in command of all the angels that God created. First in command of those angels. Just under God, his right-hand angel. And yet he deceived a third of these angels. Perfect beings that really weren't even intended to be able to be deceived. Created perfect without sin by God, and not even given the choice as humans. They didn't have that faculty of us saying, oh, I am going to follow Jesus. They were created to do so. All glory to Father God, all obedience to Father God. Yet Satan had the amazing, clever ability to deceive a third of them. And you think you're any better? You think you're better? The only hope that you have is 100% filling of the Holy Ghost. That he speaks to you. That he rises up when everything in you says, oh, this isn't too bad. I know better. I think I could do this. You have 1 ounce of I think I could do this. You've lost. Done. You're done. You're done. You're swept away with delusion and deception into the spirit of this age, which is given reign and rule right now in our midst. We don't just kind of need God. We desperately need God in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. We desperately need him to continually scan us. The minute one little virus of pride comes in, we're like, oh God, and there's alarms going off. Watch out, watch out, watch out. You're leaning too much on your own strength. You're trusting in your own intuition. And there's alarms, and the Holy Spirit says, right now, Sean, stop and repent. Yes, Lord, sorry. I desperately need you. You are everything. You know, there's a good Southern saying. My wife's not even here to enjoy it. But you don't know what you don't know. Kurt is. You don't know what you don't know. And that's what makes this thing so dangerous. We don't know what we don't know. And they call blind spots a blind spot for a reason. But God has built in these amazing safeguards called the body of Christ. That's why we were never called to serve him alone. It was never part of the plan. The plan was salvation of a soul and birthing into a family called the church, the family of God. And everybody has their six. And you're surrounded by people who are saying, up, sniper to the east. Sniper to the west. What? I don't see any. Where? And I thank God for our body because I'll tell you, I've been in perilous times myself throughout the history of the church. And man, whenever I was in danger, and it was perilous danger of falling and being ensnared by the enemy, I had so many people that came to me and said, you know, I don't know why, God laid you on my heart in a powerful way this week. I've been interceding for you, praying for you. Hey, Sean, I had a dream about you. And I'm telling you, the enemy is trying to do something here. And you know, I even remember in perilous times hearing these things, knowing they were true with all my heart, and just going, I don't know, that's so strange. You had that dream. And inside my heart, I'm going, wow, what an astute believer. I'm serious. But that is the human condition. The human condition, with its pride and its defensive mechanisms, wants to defend, wants to appear a certain way. And that whole time, even during all those things, I'm just saying, wow, this place is pretty hot. They're in tune with the Holy Spirit. And I respect that. So whenever there's an issue or a problem, there's not one or two people that come. This could be with a person, a situation. I'm flooded with like tons of people coming saying, Sean, I have a concern. And it's not gossip. It's true concern about protecting the integrity and the quality of what God is doing in our midst. And that's the role of leadership, right? The role of leadership is to shepherd the flock, to protect, to guide, to nurture, to keep safe, to enable, empower, to be all that God has intended us all to be. In summary, we desperately need one another. All of us. We all have a role. We all have a place to fill. So we're in this war. 2 Corinthians says, in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, if it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants, reformers, ambassadors, for Jesus' sake. For God said, light shall shine out of darkness. And that is what is happening. That is what our call is, that we are to shine in the midst of darkness in every single area of culture. Ephesians 1:17, Paul says, for this reason too, or the author, having heard of the faith in Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks to you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of this calling, what are the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of power toward us who believe. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Folks, this is who he's created us to be. I got to say it once more. The weapons of our warfare are not for the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your disobedience is complete. Now think about that. This whole war is over lies and truth. It's all over knowledge of God. What is true and what's a lie about God? I am convinced you erase all the labels of every area of culture even in government. Take away Democrat, take away Republican. Take away all these different groups and these subdivisions and ask yourself, where is God moving? What is he doing? There I am. And I'm standing there and I'm declaring, I'm decreeing, I'm praying, I'm breaking down strongholds. I'm going to stand so that people will encounter each one of these areas of culture and say, I feel so loved. And there's a warfare, and it's intense and it's violent. But we have a role. Now, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not standing on the street corner, getting in people's faces, saying, you're wrong. And we're arguing. We're beginning to declare truth. We're beginning to declare who God is, his goodness, his greatness. Now, sometimes that causes conflict. It's like what Steve shared last week. Awesome. You know, Paul is one of the people who caused so much conflict in towns. He had to escape at night because they stoned him. Sometimes they got him. And they dragged him out. They escaped because they thought he was dead. I mean, think about that. And he said, do all you can to live at peace with men. I want you to think about this for your own life. Think about ways you've abdicated your role. Think about ways you've been disillusioned or grown weary in well-doing. Think about ways you've thrown up your arms to say, oh, well, I give up. I'm not doing this anymore. Think about how maybe some of you have been hurt by church and you're just like, I can't take this anymore. I'm just going to go and camp out in my living room and I'll just pray and I'll have church, me and God, maybe a few friends. You're giving up on the system and the biblical truth. You're abdicating your responsibility to say, no, wait, there is a vision. There is a vision. God has a vision for all these areas of culture. I am going to stand with him and be a part of reformation. In some cases, revolution. Overthrowing an old, antiquated system. And declaring truth and saying, God has a plan. Come on, reformers, revolutionaries, stir your hearts. Tighten your belt. Jesus had a lot to say about the role of his church in the world and in culture. I just want to remind you of some of these things about your place, your call, your mandate. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the salt of the earth. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others. Whoa, that is super clear. Well, you can let your light shine if you want, if you feel led, right? That's our little clause today. Well, I just don't feel led. Led to obey the word of God or not. Just so your light must shine. Listen to that imperative. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. Don't you see? The whole gospel message, gospel and culture, is that the light of God shines in your heart and it becomes seen by others, and others go, oh, God is so good. That in the midst of all hell breaking loose around you, your face is shining with anticipation and hope that God has a plan. And oh, you can't wait to see the next chapter, because you are part of that next chapter. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, if I'm delayed, Timothy, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Folks, compromise as a church, compromise of how we conduct ourselves with one another, it deteriorates the power of the gospel to the world who look and see. We are the pillar and the foundation of truth. We need to rise up and be that and be confident in our strength as his people. Ephesians 3, 7. Of this I became a minister of the grace of God. Paul is talking, and he's talking about his twofold commission before the Lord. Two things that he has been created and designed for. One, to preach to the Gentiles the inscrutable riches of Christ. And two, to bring to light for all what is the plan of the mystery hidden from ages past in God who created all things. That is economia, household rule. To bring to light the administration, the economia, the household rule, how the church is to function with one another, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Folks, I'm telling you, we are the means by which the world is going to believe in Christ, to see his glory, to see his power. You, your willingness to actually submit to God and be attached into this wall of living stones and be used by him and play your part and fill your role and fill your position, to hold fast and not draw back. The world's salvation is resting upon your obedience to God and his ability to move through you. This church, this ecclesia, this word for church is ecclesia. It's a gathering of citizens called out of their homes into some public place of the council for the purpose of deliberating on public matters. I want to just challenge you. You know, part of what Steve was saying, he's building this theology of gathering and wondering, like, you know, what is God's plan? Why is it so important? Because the very identity of who we are as the church is to be called out and gather and make decrees in public situations. Because we are the pillar and the light. We are the salt. We are the discerning element on this earth. Come on, folks. Woo, wake up. Notice Jesus didn't say, I will build my temple or I will build my synagogue. Places of discussion and prayer. He said, I will build my ecclesia, my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. Further, he told his disciples how to pray. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:9-10. Now listen, notice that Jesus was more about trying to get heaven on earth than to try to get people into heaven. Think about that. Let it sit in a little bit. Jesus was more concerned about getting heaven on earth. He created this place to shine with his glory, his goodness, for people to worship and glorify him. Even when he comes back again, he is not going to destroy it. He's going to place New Jerusalem right here. He's like, has not forsaken this place. He loves the earth. He created it. And he is committed with all his resource and unlimited potential to make it shine again. And he's calling the church to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is rising. And he's calling you to be a part. He's saying, come, 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 stand with me. I am going to declare and demonstrate a mighty move on this earth. It's not the end time. It's not the light. The world isn't over right now. Do you realize that? There are too many promises right now. The end will come. It is not now. It is not now. God has too much to do. I don't know about you, but the gospel of the kingdom, what I'm talking about, Maybe the preaching of the gospel, the good news, has gone to the ends of the earth, but the gospel of the kingdom, the influence of culture to the point where all of these areas, these mountains, begin to have people who are praising God on the top of them. Now listen, it is happening and it's messy. And for those of you who are stuck in dead religion, you are having a hard time seeing it because it's messy. It's war. There's a lot of controversy right now over people like Sean Foyt going into cities where there are riots taking place and releasing massive gatherings of praise. Think about this. Now, there's some people who don't like that. They're like, that is so irresponsible. And the rioting is, it's a war. The rioting is speaking loudly. We need believers who will go and say, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are going to come here and begin to release a window of heaven because we're going to praise the Creator, praise the one who is going to release goodness. See, and you don't hear these things. Maybe one of these weeks I'll play a CBN broadcast, 5 minutes of a summary of what's happened all over the nation, even through this man. This is only one instance of the way God is moving in powerful ways, and many people don't even know it. People in these places where riots were happening hours before are getting baptized in public, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, healed in their bodies. Miracles, signs, and wonders are taking place through all these places. There's so much happening right now. So many incredible things all across the nation, but we don't know. Why? Because we are in a propaganda war and we're being told all these things, and God's saying, I want you to listen to my word. I want you to listen to my word. I am doing something new. And start trashing all the labels. Get rid of all the divisions and look to Jesus. He will guide you through and he'll show you. And you'll begin to declare and strengthen every area that needs to be strengthened. And you'll release praise in areas of darkness, and light and redemption will be released. Oh. We are reformers. We make changes in order to improve areas of culture. We are revolutionaries. We work for complete and dramatic change in all areas of culture that are not expressing the love of God. Now, again, this does not mean we contend with humans. We don't say, oh, buddy, come on, let's go. It's time to duke it out. I'm going to show you. We're going to have our way. No, it's kind of things like Sean's doing. He's just going and beginning to lift his heart in prayer, worship, exalting God, sharing the goodness of God to others in the midst of all hell. And the hungry are being drawn, and they're coming saying, oh, I want this peace. I need this peace in the middle of my storm. And that peace is Jesus. And he's real, and he's alive, and he's moving, and he's stirring the hearts of believers. It's the same Jesus, same message Jesus preached when he first started his ministry. Repent. Change the way you think, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you want to change the world, change your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray and we recognize what you're doing. Even if we don't, we sense that something is going on. Something big is going on when a whole world shuts down. And Lord, it's not just this whole thing has been so demonic and so evil that sickness would come and paralyze an entire creation. But that is not your plan. And in the midst, in spite of this, you're moving in such a clever, masterful way. And you're redeeming everything the enemy has meant for harm. You are redeeming and reversing every curse and releasing destiny and hope and vision. And I pray right now, Lord God, I pray for a stirring in every person's heart. I pray that not one person would grow faint, but that the power of the living God would stir every heart right now. I pray for a rising of the glory of God in this place. Rise up, glory of God. Rise up, Holy Spirit. Stir your people.
heart. Come on, this is time. This is time for him to visit your heart. This is time for you to yield yourself and be part of a great movement across this earth. Oh, Lord, I want to be like one of those in Ezekiel when you sent your angels out and said, go and write down every single person who is travailing right now and interceding because of the great wickedness in the land. Write them down. And we see that that list became a list of those that were preserved. And Lord, I want to be known as someone who is written in your book. Someone who was so consumed with your heart and your love that they would be brought to a place of intercession and prayer for the wrong that they saw around them. Mark me down, Lord. Mark us down as people who pray, who people who seek your face, who begin to intercede and stand in between, who cry out for the salvation of souls, who cry out for the saving of every area of culture. Lord, right now, we just even begin to pray, even this week, for the media. I pray, Lord God, that everyone who rises a lying tongue against you would be stopped. And I pray that their hearts would be convinced, persuaded. Lord, you even know where they sleep, these leaders. And I pray that you begin to visit them at night and cause them to understand that you are calling their name to be representatives of your kingdom in that culture of media. Lord, I pray right now for families. I pray for every family, that every family would have a rekindled hope of what you want to do and how you want to use them. I pray right now for a breaking off of every assignment that is going to keep them from seeing the promise of God's glory being released in families. Pray for humility to be released for fathers who will head their homes in submission, in truth, in yieldedness to God and one another, submitting themselves to one another. Lord, I pray for arts and entertainment. I pray that a revival would take place in Hollywood. Lord, I pray that all across all the centers of arts and entertainment, I pray that there would be a rebirthing of glory of God. That, Father, you've created all these people with these amazing gifts to be creative and express and to act. I pray you would use them, Lord. I pray for my son, Wesley. He's in one of the epicenters, and I pray, Lord God, that you would visit him at night, that you would birth fresh creativity, fresh vision. I thank you for the call on his life, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing in this whole arena. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in economy in the midst of this great virus, this great interruption, this great disablement, that you are giving the wealth of the wicked to the righteous, and there is a great transition of wealth. There is a stewardship taking place, coming upon the people of God, where the mission, where the gospel of Christ is going to be funded across the nations of the earth, and a great harvest will follow. Lord, I pray for this arena of religion. Lord, I pray that every empty religion would be rekindled. I pray for the first love to return to the people of God. I pray for dead religion and systems and belief sets to be reformatted, to be resuscitated. I pray for a first love to overtake the hearts of the people of God. That, Lord, your church would just arise with such a love for you and such a conviction that they would stand in the midst of grossest darkness and lift their voices as the martyrs of the past did and say, Jesus is good. I thank you for a groundswell of transformation. Lord, I pray for education. I pray for this great institution Lord, you've called us to glorify you in body, soul, and spirit. And I pray for a visitation upon the campuses, a visitation upon the educational directors of this country, Lord God, that they would repent and to you and be saved, and their eyes would be open to a whole new dimension. Lord, finally, I pray for our government. Lord, pray as the elections come up, I pray that you would have your way. I pray, Lord God, that in spite of imperfect humans, you would rise up and restore America to her former glory. Lord, let her once again be one of the greatest mission-sending forces in the world. That they would be one of the greatest senders of missionaries and apostolic team. Lord, that it would... the gospel would rage as it did the first and the second great awakening. Lord, let there be another one coming that staggers our imaginations. Oh, intervene in America, God. Shut every door of humanism. Shut every door of Antichrist. I pray that you would release such a powerful opportunity of the living God, of the one who carries the government upon his shoulders. Oh Lord, you're greater than any government. And we pray right now that you would move through man and once again restore a nation. Listen, we're just going to respond a few minutes. I want you to respond to God before you leave this place and commit to what he wants to do through your life. I feel there's such a charging in this place today where God is like rekindling, encouraging you. I'm telling you, whether you're young or old, God is visiting you in this season. It's now. The time is now. Don't draw back. Don't give into discouragement. Don't be paralyzed by something that has happened in the past. Now is not the time. Now is the time to overcome. Tap into God's heart of love for you. He is jealous for you. Let him set you free. Let him encourage you. Let him posture you, empower you, cause you to be able to arise and shine and release his light. Come on, let's just respond to him here. Close. Commitment of our